Well, this morning, our study in the book of Romans is a bit ambitious. We have a lot of material to cover, but I think it's significant because it has to do with the way we live today. How are you living for the Lord today? Where are your priorities? And I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5 for context and to begin our thoughts. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now last Sunday we were talking about, or trying to present the fact that every time you see the word Spirit in Romans 8, it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And the capitalization of the word Spirit in this verse has created some confusion, because it's not always talking about the Holy Spirit. He is talking about our spirit. And he's not talking about the spirit that we associate with being saved or born from above spirit. We're talking about our attitude, our demeanor, like the spirit of fear. I think we all understand what that spirit is. We've all experienced that spirit, haven't we? There have been a time when we were afraid. And I can remember one of my earliest remembrances was when I was a very small boy and lived close to SMU, Southern Methodist University in Dallas. And my mother and father had a Czechoslovakian woman as a nanny taking care of me, and they had to let her go because I was learning Czech and not English, because I don't remember a word of it anyway. But anyway, I can remember being in the front room of the house sleeping on the bed, and I looked over at the door and I could see something in that door. It was my reflection on the door. The door was shiny. And it scared me. That's one of the earliest remembrances of fear that I've had. So we have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of joy. We have the spirit of meekness. We have the spirit of love, patience, endurance. And so when we're talking about walking after the Spirit, what spirit are we walking after? In Romans 8:1, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And obviously there is now no condemnation in Him, because we are not standing before Jesus Christ as our judge. He is our high priest. He is our attorney. And I sure wouldn't want an attorney that was judging me. I'd want an attorney that was helping me, and he is my help today, but one day he is going to step out of being my attorney and becoming my judge. And so therefore I am not being judged or condemned today. I have time to judge myself, that I be not judged, as brought out in the breaking of bread in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But it says here, who walk not after the flesh. Now if you walk after the flesh and you don't repent and you don't change, you're going to be judged. But we're to be walking after the Spirit. Now the word walking or walk is in the present tense. It's a present active participle. We're to do the walking. This is a continuous thing. not an event. It's a continuous activity of walking. And it's, and the word after is the Greek word kata, meaning according to. We're to be walking according to Spirit. Now, if you notice in the notes, the line is drawn through the word the. In the Greek text, the definite article the is not in the text. And therefore, it's not a reference to the Holy Spirit. It's talking about a spirit that we are to be walking according to. And it doesn't tell us what that spirit is until verse 2. And we'll get to verse 2 in just a moment. And you'll see the connection, because there is a conjunction in verse 2 that ties verse 1 to verse 2. Okay? Now, in some manuscripts, the word "who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit" does not include that sentence. But the Authorized Version, or the Textus Receptus, does have that in that manuscript, and I think it's good that they do have it in there, and I'll show you, and you'll see why in just a moment. Now, the Spirit in Romans 8, I believe, is to be the Spirit of adoption. In Romans 8:15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the bondage," or the spirit of adoption, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And the word Spirit in this passage of Scripture does not have the definite article before it. It's Spirit. And this Spirit, which is something that I control, because I'm walking after that Spirit. Now, if this was the Holy Spirit, to cry, Abba, Father, continuously, because that's what the word cries in the present tense. If the Holy Spirit was crying, Abba, Father, not my will but thine be done, that would not apply to me. That would apply to the Holy Spirit. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is praying for us that we will do the will of the Father. And so, therefore, I need to be submissive to the will of the Father. So, therefore, God has given me the Spirit willing to say, not my will but thine be done. And I'm referring to a passage in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, which we will look at in just a moment as a way of reference. Now, the Spirit of adoption in verse 15 is the Spirit of being placed as a son. This Spirit, the word adoption does not apply like we think of adoption, where we take someone else's child and give him our last name, because that's what adoption is today. We're taking responsibility, giving that child our last name, and paying all of his bills and putting him through school and whatever. This adoption here is to be placed as a son, to be recognized as a son. And in the Jewish tradition, today, it's known as bar mitzvah. Before a child or a boy becomes a son, he is a gopher. Now, I'm not talking about a Minnesota gopher. I'm talking about a gopher this and gopher that. He's a servant. But when he goes through bar mitzvah, he becomes, this is my son. He moves up from a plane of a servant to a son, a place of honor in the family. And you know what? That doesn't take place until the redemption of the body. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8. We're waiting for the day when the sons of God will be revealed. And they are not revealed until the redemption of the body. And so therefore, while I am waiting to be placed in the position of a son, I can live like the Son of God. I can submit my will to His will. Because that's the spirit of being placed in a position of a son. And that is, and if I have that Spirit and I'm submissive to that Spirit, I can cry, Abba, Father, meaning not my will, but thine be done. And that's what Jesus did. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we have a parallel passage of Scripture. It says, redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is one compound word. It's to be placed as a son. And redemption, by the way, is a family matter. And we need to be redeemed from being from under the bondage of the law, the ceremonial law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons. By the way, the adoption of sons is a translation of one word. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, they don't put the adoption of sons, they just use the word adoption. It's the same word, it's just simply translated more fully in Galatians chapter 4. And it says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And this crying is a continual thing. And it doesn't mean that we are a son today, it just simply means that we are behaving ourselves as the Son of God. How? By crying, Abba, Father. Did Jesus do that in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yes, He did. And if I cry, Abba, Father, and mean it from my heart, I'm behaving myself as the Son of God. And you know what? The Father loves that. He likes that. He takes note of it. Now, Mark 14:36, and He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Part of acknowledging, or part of saying Abba, Father, is acknowledging the power of God. He has the authority to do anything He wants. But He doesn't always do what we want. Now, how do we respond to His uh-uhs? We love His uh-uhs, but we don't like His uh-uhs. We like His yes, but we don't like His no's sometimes. Until later on, when we find out that what we wanted was really a rock and not a loaf of bread. Because things don't always... are not always what they appear. Anyway, so we acknowledge that He has the power to make the changes, and yet we are submitting to His will not to make any changes in our life. Now, Jesus' attitude was in John 8:29, and He that sent me, that is the Father, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For why? Because I do always those things which please Him. That's part of the Abba Spirit. Always doing the things that please the Father. John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. In other words, I don't make judgments about the will of God for my life, and neither did Jesus. And of course, Jesus' judgments were just. Obviously, ours are lacking. Some of our decisions are not too good, and so therefore, we need the will of the Father to be done in our life. And in John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And to finish His work. Part of living like a son is to feed on the will of God for your life. and to finish. See, it's easy to quit. You know? I can cry, Abba, Father, meaning not my will, but thine be done. And that's what Jesus did. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we have a parallel passage of Scripture. It says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is one compound word. It's to be placed as a son. And redemption, by the way, is a family matter. And we need to be redeemed from under the bondage of the law, the ceremonial law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons. By the way, the adoption of sons is a translation of one word. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, they don't put the adoption of sons, they just use the word adoption. It's the same word, it's just simply translated more fully in Galatians chapter 4. And it says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And this crying is a continual thing. And it doesn't mean that we are a son today. It just simply means that we are behaving ourselves as the Son of God. How? By crying, Abba, Father. Did Jesus do that in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yes, He did. And if I cry, Abba, Father, and mean it from my heart, I'm behaving myself as the Son of God. And you know what? The Father loves that. He likes that. He takes note of it. Now, Mark 14:36, and He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Part of acknowledging, or part of saying Abba, Father, is acknowledging the power of God. He has the authority to do anything He wants. But He doesn't always do what we want. Now, how do we respond to His uh-uhs? We love His uh-uhs, but we don't like His uh-uhs. We like His yes, but we don't like His no's sometimes. Until later on, when we find out that what we wanted was really a rock and not a loaf of bread. Because things don't always are not always what they appear. Anyway, so we acknowledge that He has the power to make the changes, and yet we are submitting to His will not to make any changes in our life. Now, Jesus' attitude was in John 8:29, and He that sent me, that is the Father, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For why? Because I do always those things which please Him. That's part of the Abba Spirit. Always doing the things that please the Father. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. In other words, I don't make judgments about the will of God for my life, and neither did Jesus. And of course, Jesus' judgments were just. Obviously, ours are lacking. Some of our decisions are not too good. And so therefore, we need the will of the Father to be done in our life. And in John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Part of living like a son is to feed on the will of God for your life. and to finish. See, it's easy to quit. You know? And we do that by doing the will of the Father. And doing the will of the Father is also part of the spirit of life in Christ. And first things first is really what the bottom line is. Colossians chapter 3 tells us also, gives us another inclination in that spirit in which we are to live. If ye be risen with Christ, present active, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. This is the spirit of life in Christ. I'm in Christ, and I should be seeking His kingdom, and I should be seeking those things which are above. That's positions of honor and glory. That has to do with fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father. And because where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. And we want that spirit. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it tells the man of God what to do. It says, flee, present active imperative, these things. I didn't put the other verses, verses 9 and 10 in here, but verses 9 and 10 have to do with financial security, money. Verse 8 tells us, I believe it is, or 7, it says, be satisfied with food and raiment. You don't need to have a big portfolio. I'm not saying that a portfolio is not profitable. It could be profitable, but if you've got your affections on your portfolio, you're living in the wrong spirit. My help cometh from the Lord. He is the one who made heaven and earth, and my confidence is in Him. My expectation is from Him. So we're. The man of God is to flee financial, so-called financial security. And by the way, let me just say this. Having extra money is not a sin. It's loving it that's a sin. If having extra money or a lot of money is a sin, God wouldn't have given Job twice as much as He had before. Otherwise, God would be helping Job to sin. See, Job knew how to handle his money. And it's the Christian who has a lot and it's been given to him without him getting it by sweat and tears. They don't know how to manage it or they don't have the right attitude toward it. But anyway, the man of God is to do what? Well, he's to flee and he's also to follow. And this word follow is in the present, it's a present active imperative. And it's actually a word that means to pursue with malignity. It means to pursue in such a fever that you're going to do something about it. I think about the fugitive. The pursuing of the fugitive was with malignity to get him. Okay? Now, what is the man of God to get? Well, he is to pursue righteousness. This is not imputed righteousness. This is righteous living. He is to pursue godliness. He is to pursue faith so he can please God. He is to pursue love. Because if you don't love your brother, you're not going to have life for the age. He needs to pursue patience or diligence or endurance. And he is to pursue meekness, to be kind, to be soft. Meekness, I've always heard, is a steel hand in a velvet glove. Meekness is one who is firm, but does not threaten, basically speaking. And not only is he to follow after, but he is to fight the good fight of faith, present middle, and that's for himself. The middle voice means for himself. He is to fight the good fight of faith for himself. He is to lay hold, present middle, imperative, on life of the age. That's kingdom life in the millennial age, millennial kingdom, where unto thou art called. We're called unto His kingdom and glory, Paul tells us. Romans 12:1 gives us another spirit aspect of the spirit of life in Christ. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's present active. A living sacrifice is one who doesn't crawl off the altar. He is doing what Isaac did. He put his hands together so his dad could tie him. you understand what I'm saying? He submitted to whatever the Father wanted to do with him. So we're to be living sacrifices. We're to be holy sacrifices. We need to be sacrifices that are well-pleasing. The word acceptable is also translated well-pleasing unto God. And He's not asking for too much. This is just reasonable stuff. Okay? A living sacrifice is not unreasonable demand from God. It's reasonable. Verse 2. We're not to be conformed to this world, and that's being passive. If we're passive about being conformed to this world, we're in trouble. But we are to be transformed, passive, by God, by the renewing of my mind, or our minds, that you may prove, present active, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is part of the spirit in which we are to be living in Christ. If you live like this, you're going to be set free from lawlessness. You're not going to have a desire to live a lawless life, which will lead to perishing or death, thanatos death. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Present active. This is an ongoing thing. You know why it's ongoing? Because we're all the time getting anxious about something. And so we got to turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. And the only way you can turn it off is with the Scriptures. Is with the Scriptures. Remind yourselves that God's in charge. And Abba, Father, you mean it from the heart. And so we're to be anxious for nothing. And this is interesting. This word nothing is a real emphatic nothing. Not even one thing. That's how emphatic it is. Be anxious for not even one thing. We went over this word here last week, I believe it was. But anyway, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I think prayer is letting God know what you want. Supplication is submitting to His will. With thanksgiving, knowing that He has the power to change anything He wants to. We can thank Him that I know You have power to change this, but I'm going to submit to Your will. And it's to let Your request be made known, present active unto God. And you know what? It says here, you'll get everything you ask for. No. You don't. He'll provide you with peace. He'll provide you with peace until He's ready to give you what you need or what we need. I just think of some of the hymns we sing. It says, you ask God and you will not be denied. You know, we sing that in one of our hymns. That is just simply heresy. That's all there is to it. But we sing it anyway, because somebody wrote it and it's in one of the verses. But you know what? You can learn by singing heretical hymns if you just apply the truth that you know. Okay. So we're to be anxious for nothing. And you know what? The peace of God, which passes our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guarding our hearts will keep us from making dumb mistakes, because it's out of the heart that the issues of life come and decisions that we make. And if we're anxious, We act too fast, and we make too many knee-jerk decisions. And so therefore we need peace, and if we have peace, we know we got time. And it's easier to make decisions when you know you have time. Now, continuing in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, present active, imperative, command. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard. That's additional things besides what we just got through reading. What you've learned, think about them. What you've heard, think about them. What you've received, believe it and let it change your life. And seen, of course, in me, that's Paul. Paul is a teacher. Do, present active, or practice. And the God of peace shall be with you. And we want the God of peace to be with us, or the peace of God to be with us. We're to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. And I'm going to have Gene stand and quote that passage for us. No. Gene's memorizing this passage of Scripture. Put on the whole armor of God. And we need to do that. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And what is the power of His might? It's the grace of God. That's the power of His might. And to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the word stand is in here, or withstand, is used three times in this passage of Scripture, verses 10 through, or 11 through 13. And we have been watching a few documentaries on the kings of England. And what were the people who came in doing? They were bowing and scraping. But there were some that weren't. They were standing in the court. They weren't doing this. They weren't falling flat on their face before the king. Why? They had privileges in the court to stand. And if we are defeated, you know what? We're not going to have the privilege to stand in his court and to be kings and lords. If the devil controls us and the devil defeats us and our enemies in heavenly places defeat us, we will not stand. And having done all to stand, and we're to pray that we might be delivered from a overcharged heart and drunkenness and the cares of this world in Luke chapter 21, that we may be able to stand in His presence approved. So all of this will allow something to happen. Now, this is just simply a beginning. This is not the final word on this Spirit. This will just get you started, and you can apply it as you read through the New Testament and through the Old Testament as well. If you're living like this, you're not going to be in bondage to the sin, because you know that the sin is going to disqualify you from all the blessings of God. And He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. And so therefore, if we are living in the spirit of life for the age that is being offered to those in Christ Jesus, we're going to be free from the law of the sin. And the law of the sin is the law and the law of death. The law of the sin, and the sin, by the way, is lawlessness. And Jesus said to the lawless in Matthew chapter 7, "Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness, for I don't know you." Disqualified from entering the kingdom of heaven. Now, In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Continuing in his word is essential if you're going to know the truth and you're going to have freedom. If you're an ignorant child of God, in other words, all you're doing is drinking milk or hearing the plan of salvation over and over and over again, you're not going to know the truth and you're going to be in bondage. And you're not going to really be a disciple. Did you know that discipleship requires continuing in the Word? And if we'll continue in the Word, we're not going to be a forgetful hearer, are we? Just like it says in James. Who is blessed in his deeds? Those that don't forget it. And let me say this. I have had enough experience with computers to know that if I don't use a computer program more than once a year, I've got another learning curve to go through to learn it. Because I've forgotten what to do. And the same thing with the Scriptures. If you're not in the Scriptures, you've got another learning curve to get back where you were. And we need to know the truth so the truth can make us free. Romans 6:17, "But God be thanked that you were servants of the sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." Notice it's doctrine. Teaching and preaching of doctrine is essential to be released from the bondage of the sin of lawlessness. And this word sin has the definite article D before it, and it's talking about the sin of lawlessness. By the way, the sin of lawlessness is this. It's living a life that you don't in sins that you are not willing to confess. It's called a willful sin. And a willful sin is a sin you won't confess. And if you won't confess it, it's lawlessness and there are consequences to pay. Romans 6:22, "But now, being made free from the sin of lawlessness, you become servants to God." You can't serve two masters. You can't serve lawlessness and God. And so therefore, we're made free from the sin of lawlessness, become servants of God. How? By obeying the doctrine that we have heard and have been taught. And you have your fruits unto holiness. In other words, you're not instantly holy because there are things going on in your life that God needs to clean up, but you're moving toward a holy, sanctified life, or a life that's set apart for Him. And the end of having fruits unto holiness is age-lasting life. Life for the age. The word end is telos. It's not the beginning. Age-lasting life comes at the end. We don't have it now. We will have it in the age to come. Now, what does the law of require of the lawless? Death. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin," that is the sin of lawlessness, "is death." That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. That just simply means you will not rule and reign with Christ. That's what the death is. Thanatos, death. I mentioned before, Thanatos is a place. Revelation 2, I believe it's verse 18. It's a place that has keys to lock the door. And Jesus has the keys. And He puts people in there and locks the door so they can't get out. Because I guarantee you, if you're in there, you're going to want to get out of there. It's not a good place to be. Not a fun place to be. So, what should we be doing? John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," present active, "and believeth," present active, "on him," that is the Father, "that sent me," esteems age-lasting life. You don't have it now. You don't get it until the age to come, okay? Age-lasting life doesn't come now. It comes in the age to come, the millennial age. So what do we have now, or hath? This word hath is the Greek word echo, and it's a present active. And it also can be, and I think in this case, should be translated regard. If you esteem life for the age, I'll tell you, it's going to make a difference how you live and how you think. If you have no regard for life in the coming kingdom age, you have a tendency to live lawless life. You're going to do your own thing. You're going to save your own life. You're going to do your own thing. And I've got fire insurance. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Okay. And shall not, emphatic, not come into judgment. Condemnation is the word judgment. But is past, perfect active, in the past, from the death unto the life. In other words, if this is the way you're living, you have passed from the death, the loss of rewards and honor and glory in the kingdom, to life of honor and glory and rewards in the coming kingdom. And now, I think what we need to do is we need to end our time. So I'm going to just read some verses right here and then make a closing comment. John 20:31. And these are written that you might believe, present active, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That believing, present active, you might have life, or you might regard age-lasting life. And by the way, the word age-lasting life occurs in this verse. It's not in the text, in the King James, but it's in the text. Through His name. And a reference to His name is a reference to the Word of God. Okay? So the book was written that we might do what? Believe in the present tense. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, erist, therefore have I spoken, erist. We also indeed believe, present active, therefore speak, present active. What is the spirit of faith? It's believing in the present tense. When you believe in the present tense, you're living in the spirit of faith and you're pleasing God. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus, verse 14, shall raise us up also by Jesus and present you, or present us with you in the kingdom. And then I just put this reference in here, 1 Peter 1:21. Who by Him do believe, present active, in God, that raised Him up, that is Jesus Christ, from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's the bottom line. God raised Jesus Christ up and gave Him glory. Why? Because He was willing to cry, Abba, Father. He was willing to do the will of His Father. And if we will cry, Abba, Father, we're going to be raised up and share in His glory in the coming kingdom. May God help us to live in the spirit of life that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, I just pray that You'd bless this message to each of our hearts, and we pray, Lord, that You would help us to have the spirit that honors and glorifies You, that we might hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.